Good Sunday morning. Thank you for joining me today for Sunday Morning with the Love in Action. I hope you are all having a great and safe 4th of July weekend. We are blessed to live in this great country. I know we have our share of problems, a lot of problems in this country, but it is still the greatest country in the world, and we are so blessed to live in it. Despite everything that's going on, we still have so many freedoms that nobody else around the world can even dream of having, and that's a blessing. We need to be thankful for it, and we need to be praying for our country. We need to be praying for repentance, for healing, for restoration, for peace. And God can bring all of that. We just have to turn to Him. He's our source, and we need to focus on Him and live for Him and pray. There's power in prayer, and the power comes from the one who we pray to, Almighty God. So let's be people of prayer, and let's lift up this country. And as a matter of fact, let's pray together right now. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this weekend that we can celebrate the founding of our country, country that we're so blessed to live in. God, you could have put any of us, all of us, in a different part of this world, but you chose for us to live here in the U.S., to be born here and to live here. And God, I thank you for that. Father, I know our country has so many problems, so many issues. And God, we need healing. We need healing from racism and hatred. God, we need restoration. We need peace. We need protection. We need you. We need you front and center in this country, Lord. I pray, God, that you forgive us for our sins, Lord. Forgive me for my sins. And Lord, may this country truly be one nation under God. Father, just want to lift up everybody who's listening today. God, I pray that everyone's having a great weekend, Lord. God, that you'll keep everybody safe as a lot of people travel on this weekend. God, I pray for each person, each need. God, you know what they are. And I just come alongside them to lift those needs up to you, Father God. God, I pray most of all for those listening who have never turned to you, have never surrendered their lives to you, have never received your forgiveness, your eternal life. I pray today will be that day, Lord, that they will call upon the name of Jesus and be saved. For we know that all who call on the name of Jesus shall be saved. You tell us that in your word. And God, I thank you for your word. As we open up the Bible this morning, I ask you to speak to us, Holy Spirit. Teach us, help us to apply it to our lives, to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. And it's in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Last week, we talked about the majesty of Christ. This week, we're going to stay in Hebrews, and we're going to talk about the superiority of Christ. Jesus is just the greatest topic that we could talk about. And that's what we're going to talk about again today. And we're going to be in the book of Hebrews once again, as we were last week. So many times when we want to find out about Jesus, we go to the Gospels, which we should, because the life of Jesus is just right there in black and white for us to read. And it's awesome to read about his life. But Jesus is throughout the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. And the book of Hebrews is just a very powerful book that just brings out so much about Jesus. And just to kind of set the stage about the book of Hebrews, It's really grounded in Levitical priesthood. So reading back in the Old Testament about the priests in the book of Leviticus is really an important thing to do. And then read the book of Hebrews. But we're not going to go back and read Leviticus today. We only have 30 minutes. So we're going to be in Hebrews today. And we'll read about Jesus being the high priest when we read the book of Hebrews. Therefore, that's why I was talking about the Levitical priesthood back in the Old Testament, because we will see that the need for sacrifices in the Old Testament never ended, that there was always a sacrifice after a sacrifice for sins, individual sins, sins of the country, sins of the priests. They had to make sacrifices for their own sins. And therefore, people continued to sin. So we needed the perfect high priest with the perfect sacrifice, and that was Jesus. When you read this epistle called Hebrews, you'll see that it's a study, it's a contrast between the imperfect and incomplete provisions of the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, I should say, given under Moses, and the infinitely better provisions of the New Covenant that's offered by the perfect high priest, who is Jesus Christ. I like the Baker Illustrated Bible Handbook Introduction to Hebrews, so I just want to read that real quickly to you. It reads, "Faith is easy until it's tested. The letter of Hebrews is more like a sermon delivered to a group of people who are thinking about giving up on the Christian faith. Here we find a compassionate and capable preacher explaining and exhorting these believers with all his might in hopes of drawing them back to spiritual safety. The book establishes Jesus' credentials. He is preexistent and sovereign. He demonstrates God's faithfulness to his promises. He is the only sufficient sacrifice. He understands our weaknesses and speaks in our defense. Even in the darkest of times, our confidence can be in the one who willingly endured the same darkness in order to reconcile us to the Father. This is the Christ in whom we put our faith and hope, and he will never let us down. With rhetorical power and theological depth, the book of Hebrews calls us to stay strong in the faith, fixing our eyes on Jesus, God's ultimate word to us." The book of Hebrews was written to a group of people who were in the midst of a great struggle. The original audience, they were Jewish Christians, and life was very difficult for followers of Jesus who were Jewish, who had converted from Judaism to Christianity. Some of the things that would happen to converts, they would be disinherited from their family. They would be excommunicated from the congregation of Israel. They could lose their jobs. There was mental harassment and physical torture, public mockery, imprisonment, and even martyred. So people could be killed for their faith. So these Christians were going through a tough time, and some of them were questioning their faith and was it worth it. And the author of the book of Hebrews clearly sends a message that tells them and tells us we have to look to Jesus. And I think this message is very appropriate for today, the time that we're living in. While Christians are not being martyred here in the U.S., they are all around the world. And that time will be coming sometime in the U.S., I firmly believe, where that will take place as well. But right now, we're not in that moment. But we're going through tough times here in the U.S. Many Christians are struggling with faith because of the coronavirus. Many are struggling with faith because of the civil unrest that we have. And just so much going on in our country has really been stressful, and some people are questioning their faith. But we shouldn't question our faith in Jesus, because he's the one who we need. He's the anchor for us to put our faith and our trust in. And when we look to Jesus, we'll see that, and those fears will subside. And that's what we have to do. We have to look to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And one thing that we also have to do is turn off the TV. Turn off the news feed on your social media. Now, I'm not telling you to bury your head in the sand and not know what's going on in this world or in our country or in our city, because we do need to have an understanding of what's going on. But if you just drench your mind with all the news that we can have news 24/7 on the internet, on network news, cable news, it's everywhere. But when we do that, we're going to stress. We're going to live in fear. And we don't need to be like that. Jesus doesn't want us to live like that. So find out what's going on and then turn it off. Don't spend too much time there in the news, but know what's going on. Spend more time focusing on Christ in his word and prayer with other brothers and sisters and serving others, just doing things that Jesus wants us to do. And today, our key text is going to come out of Hebrews chapter 7, and let's read verses 22 through 28 to start off. "This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant, The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weaknesses as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. A lot of powerful scripture there about Jesus and why he is superior, why he is greater. And let's break that down some. The author of Hebrews notes the imperfection of the Levitical priesthood and how the better hope rooted in Jesus' eternal priesthood replaces the former regulations that were weak and useless. Jesus became the high priest with an oath from God that guarantees a better covenant. The covenant Jesus gives us is the better covenant. And that's obvious, and it's spelled out for us here, even in the Old Testament, where there's all the prophecy about the coming Christ and how his covenant is better than the old covenant. And what's more is Jesus' priesthood is permanent. He lives forever. The Levitical priests, they all died, and they couldn't live forever because they weren't God. Jesus is God, and therefore he lived forever. And also the Levitical priests, they had to make sacrifices for their own sins. Jesus never sinned. He is holy, sinless, and he intercedes for us, and he's the only one who can save us completely. The word that we just read here in the English Standard Version was to the uttermost, but completely is the meaning of that word. The other high priests, they were ultimately helpless to deliver people from sin. Jesus, he was obedient to death, his atoning death and his glorious resurrection, and then exalted to God's presence, made him the perfect priest forever and ever and ever. He's our high priest. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our God. And he's the perfect one. As I mentioned earlier, these early Christians who the author of Hebrews is writing to, they were struggling and they were doubting the gospel, questioning their faith to the point of turning away from it. And my question to you is that you? Are you questioning your faith? Are you either turned away from the faith in Jesus or getting close to doing so because of things going on in your life, things going on in this world? I want to encourage you today, don't turn. Don't turn from him. He's not turning from you. Don't turn from him. Look at Jesus. Turn to him. Focus on him. Follow him. Obey him. Call out on his name. Just don't turn from Jesus. I'm just imploring you not to turn from Jesus, because usually at that moment when things are getting so tough and we're getting so frustrated or aggravated or just wondering what in the world's going on, we're usually so close to a breakthrough. If we would just hold on to the unchanging hand of Jesus Christ, we'll get that breakthrough. And I encourage you to do that. And do that by looking at Jesus. That's what we're doing today. We're talking about Jesus and showing the superiority of him and why we should stay focused on him. Jesus, he was more than a prophet. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was more than a man. Jesus is the creator and sustainer of all that exists. And let's look at that. Back in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we see that Jesus is God in the flesh, where it says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe, but by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So you see, Jesus is God in the flesh, and he is the creator and sustainer of all that exists. Look at verses 10 through 12 in Hebrews chapter 1. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment, like a robe you will roll them up, like a garment they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. Just step outside today and look at the sun, the sky, the trees, the birds, the flowers. Look at the stars tonight. God created all that. Jesus, the living word, right there in the midst of creation. All things was created through him. And he created the heavens and the earth and everything that's within them. And when we have that realization, that understanding, that knowledge of that truth, then how can we take our eyes off of Jesus? How can we turn from him? We can't, because he is everything. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of his hands. Jesus is all powerful. Whatever you are struggling with today, you can turn to him and trust in him that he is going to see you through this. So many times we just want him to just pick us up and take us out of the situation and let it be over with right then and there. But more times than not, he wants to lead us through those struggles, through those tests, because that's where we learn. That's where we learn. If we were just taken out of the midst of trouble, which I admit would be nice, but how would we learn anything? We wouldn't. It's in those struggles where we learn. Let me give you an example of a physical struggle that I had back in 2014 when I had a procedure and an infection occurred, and I had E. coli, and it just started ravishing my body, and my kidneys shut down. My fever was spiking, my blood pressure was tanking, and it was touch and go, really. And there were some times when I didn't think that I was going to make it, but obviously I did, because I'm here talking to you today. But in those moments, yes, I wanted God to just heal me and just take me out of that situation and let it be over with. But for about 3 months, I went through a physical struggle. But the whole time, I was trusting God. And I was focusing on Jesus. And I'm so glad that I did, because I got strength as I focused on him. As I was laying in that hospital bed for many a nights, many a days, and just in excruciating pain in my back because the infection settled in some vertebrae in my back. And it was so painful. But I just kept focusing on Jesus. And I remember saying over and over again, this pain is nothing compared to what the pain he went through on that cross for me. And I gained strength from that. And through that strength, I was able to share the gospel with others, the healthcare providers who came to take care of me each day and each night, and able to even pray for them. And that's just because I was able to focus on Jesus. Now, if I hadn't been focusing on Jesus, I would have been a bigger mess than what I was, and the situation would have been worse. But staying focused on Jesus through our struggles, we gain strength. And I gained strength that day. And the one night when I thought I was going to go home to be with Jesus in heaven, when I made it through that night, I knew at that moment that he wanted me to stay here on earth. Because I just remember just saying, Jesus, I'm tired. Help me. And he did. I still went through excruciating pain in my back. But I knew at that moment I was going to stay. I was going to be here. And he had a plan. But through it all, he taught me so much, and he showed me so much that I would have never learned if he would have just immediately healed me and gotten me out of that hospital. So while that's the preferred method to you and me, it's not the best method, because sometimes we just got to go through it so we can learn. And as we focus on him, he shows us so much. Now, there are times when he does heal people instantly. I can't explain why sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. But all I know is I trust him and he's in control. So we have to stay focused on him. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our high priest. And he's always interceding for us. But many Christians often look at their circumstances and settle for a superficial spirituality. In other words, just not even scratching the surface of what Jesus has for us. Jesus, being the great high priest, is God who serves us, his people, as God. Let me repeat that. He's more than a high priest. He works on behalf of God. Jesus is the great high priest who is God and serves people as God. And let's look at that in Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 10 and 11. Hebrews 2, verses 10 and 11. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. You see, we don't need to settle for a superficial faith. We need to go to Jesus and trust him with everything, because he is our high priest, and he serves us, his people, and he wants the best for us. So don't settle for superficial faith. Too many people look for religious practices even to improve their lives without truly turning to Jesus to provide what they really need. Good works, religious works, whatever you want to call it, will not bring happiness if that's all you're doing. It's just doing it just to go through the motions, or doing it just to satisfy yourself, to try to make yourself feel good. That's superficial. You want to do good works when Jesus is in you, because it's just an outflow of his love for others. And you want to be involved with, like at Love in Action, serving the homeless and helping those in need. Or you're at your house of worship and you want to help the nursery ministry, the children's ministry, or the youth ministry. But that's because Jesus is in you, and that love, that good works, are just an outflow of that. But many other Christians are tempted to be overwhelmed by the weight and the worry of life and just given up on asking Jesus for help. And that's what's going on a lot today. There's a lot of worry and a lot of fear, and people are just, they're tired and they're just giving up. Well, don't give up. Even if you're tired, don't give up, because Jesus will give you strength. And if you focus on him, as I mentioned earlier, you will get strength from him by just focusing on him and focusing on his word. When you give in to all of life's worries, you become overwhelmed and you suffer in a different way, because all the negativity that you're allowing in your life is just difficult, and it makes things difficult and it makes life tough, and those worries, those fears start to dominate your life. But God sends a message, a strong message here in the book of Hebrews, and it's the message of the gospel. Jesus Christ comes to people to give his life for them. That's simple. Jesus came here to earth to give his life for you and for me. He lived for us. He lived a perfect life because we couldn't. He bore the shame of the cross, took on all that pain for us, died on the cross for us, and he came back to life for us, to give us life everlasting. And for every situation that those of us who are followers of Jesus face, the message of Hebrews is simply to look to Jesus, as we've been talking about this morning. Jesus is the one to look at. Who else better to look at than Jesus? He's experienced everything we've experienced. He was tempted in every way that we're tempted, yet he did not sin. Jesus is the perfect example of perseverance. And that's what you and I have to have, is perseverance to make it through any struggling time. And especially now in the times that we live in, we must have perseverance. So persevere and don't give up. Jesus is the only one who actively provides for and cares for his people. He loves you, and he's providing for you, and he cares for you. Whatever it looks like right now, however crazy your life might be right now, you can understand this one thing. Jesus loves you. He is in control, and he has you in his hands. Trust him. Trust him and obey him, and watch what Jesus does in your life. Watch what he does through your life. You see, Jesus has provided forgiveness of sins. Your sins, my sin, everybody who's ever lived on the face of this earth. This means that we can go to him and find eternal life. And eternal life isn't just about where we're going to go when we die, though that is a very, very important part of it, because eternity lasts forever. There is no end. And so, yes, that is very important, is life everlasting. But it's also about the fullness of life. Life with Jesus is about having a full and rich experience of life now, right now, here on earth. This is God's word of hope to people who struggle with their circumstances. Are you struggling with your circumstances? Then God has given you this hope in Jesus Christ, that he is life. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There is no life outside of Jesus. I tried experiencing that for myself, thinking that there was, but there wasn't. There was nothing but emptiness and death. But when I came to Jesus, I found life. I discovered life. I discovered what real life is all about. And you may say, well, Ken, you're a preacher. Of course you do. Look, I've not always been a pastor. I haven't always been in the situation that I'm in right now. I worked 22 years in journalism, and probably about another five years in other jobs, miscellaneous jobs. So I've been out there in the workforce, and I understand what you go through. But we can still live for Jesus while we're in the workforce, while we're at work, while we're at home. There may be struggles at work, there may be struggles at home, but if we put Jesus first and we focus on him, then we will experience breakthroughs and we will experience life. So when people look to Jesus, you receive from God the assurance that we don't need to look anywhere else or settle for anything less. Don't settle for anything else. Don't look anywhere else. Look to Jesus. I'm going to end by reading Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us, that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is the great shepherd. He is with you and he is equipping you. And he has everything that you need, everything that I need. We just have to turn to him. And I encourage you today, turn to Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, the word says. Just call out to him the best you can, the best you know how. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to come into your life, save you, and to give you life here and life eternal. If you're a Christian who's just, you know, kind of struggling, going through hard times, be assured that he is with you. He has never left you. And just continue to turn to him, continue to focus on him, and he will see you through. Thank you for joining me today. I pray you have a great rest of the day, a great week coming up. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.